Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back to the show, my friend. I am so excited that you are here. I have never before been as aware as I am today of how precious and how fleeting time is. Something about becoming a mom just completely changed the timeline for me. Like, time just flies. And so I just wanted to start today's episode by saying thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for continuing your nutrition education and working to continue unsubscribing from diet culture and for doing all of that alongside of me. I truly value your time and I am so happy that you're here. I hope you get a lot out of today's episode, because in today's show, I am answering your most commonly asked weight loss questions. And I know these are your most commonly asked weight loss questions because Google said so. So I have a list of the things that are most frequently typed into Google, and I'm just going to run down them. We'll see how many time allows us to get through, but I'm going to give you my no-nonsense nutrition coaching feedback so that you have the answers to all of these questions. And I hope you'll find one or many more of them extremely helpful. I'm sure this comes as no surprise to you. It certainly didn't come as a surprise to me that the most commonly asked weight loss question is, how can I lose weight fast? And so I am going to tell you how you can lose weight fast, but I am going to do so through the lens of losing weight quickly and sustainably. Because if you've been around here for any length of time, you know that sustainability is my jam. It's basically the superpower that my team and I believe we excel at. Because if it doesn't last, what's the freaking point? So yes, there are many, many, many ways that you can lose weight fast. You could decide to cut out entire food groups, whether that's carbs or whether it's sugar or whether it's animal products, and that would likely drastically reduce your caloric intake and therefore result in very quick weight loss. You could spend hours a day exercising and sweating, and that would cause you to lose a lot of water weight as well as probably some body fat. Those are options, as well as many, many others. But if it's not sustainable, I don't want anything to do with it. And I'm hoping that because you're here in our little corner of the world, corner of the internet, if you will, that you too are looking for sustainability and weight loss that adds more to your life than it takes away. So without further ado, it's important to keep in mind that while really rapid weight loss is super appealing, I get it, it's sexy, it's not always the healthiest or the most sustainable approach. So tips and tricks for achieving a balance between losing weight as quickly as possible, read as a reasonable pace, and ensuring that it's sustainable. Number one is to set a realistic goal. Aiming for safe and sustainable weight loss looks like, for most people, about 0.5 to 2 pounds per week. That might not sound like a lot, but that's what you can expect if you're going about weight loss in a health-promoting way, and in a way where you can expect it to stay off once it comes off. This gradual approach, less sexy, I get it, but it's much more likely to lead to long-term success. The next way is to focus on a balanced diet that includes a variety of foods from all food groups. So this is why, once again, not into how can I lose weight as quickly as possible, because it's probably not going to leave me feeling my best, and therefore it's not going to be last, and the results that I create are not going to be sustainable. So if I do want quick weight loss that lasts, I probably want to incorporate all food groups to ensure that I feel my absolute best as a result of being my most powerfully nourished. That means you're likely eating lots of fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and whole grains and healthy fats.
Yes, we can avoid or limit processed high sugar, high fat foods. Those treats and sweets we often keep in our pantries, chips, crackers, cookies, pretzels, baked goods, those types of things. You can certainly limit and or eliminate those things if you want to create weight loss faster. The third thing that I would suggest is being super mindful about your portion sizes and honoring your hunger and fullness cues. Are you eating because you're genuinely hungry, or are you eating because there's food in front of you? Are you eating because you're bored, stressed, lonely, tired? Are you eating the entire serving size that you're given, or are you stopping when your body says it's had enough? Eating in moderation is key to sustainable weight loss, and our bodies are designed to tell us when they've had enough and when they need more. We just learn as we grow up to stop paying attention to those cues. So mastering portion control and honoring our hunger and fullness cues, huge, hugely important in creating fast and sustainable weight loss. The fourth thing that I would encourage anyone who's looking to lose weight quickly is to engage in regular physical activity. Now, that can look like intentional exercise, where you're doing some cardiovascular activity like walking, running, swimming, and it can also include strength training, which helps you to burn calories, true, but also to preserve and build muscle mass, which is going to increase your metabolic rate. So both of those things, hugely beneficial. It doesn't just include intentional exercise, however. If we want to successfully lose weight, we also probably want to increase our NEAT, our non-exercise activity. And that's just how much we move throughout the day. So if you have a desk job, getting up more frequently, going to the water fountain to refill your water bottle, parking further away in the parking lot, taking the stairs when you can, making sure that you're not just leaving things at the bottom of the stairs till the end of the day, but going up and down each and every time you need to. Taking intentional walks to break up your workday or break up your routine. I would say these four things are easily the most important when trying to lose weight quickly. Set realistic goals, focus on a balanced diet that includes a variety of foods from all food groups, be mindful about your portion control and your hunger cues, and engage in regular physical activity. There's so many other things that I could list off here, right? Like getting adequate sleep is important, managing stress is important, making sure that you have a strong support network, staying accountable, whether that's to a coach or friends or whomever. But those are the four that I'm going to leave you with. If you want to lose weight as quickly as possible, while also ensuring that it's sustainable, it all comes down to making gradual, healthy changes that you feel confident you can maintain over the long term. Second question. What is the best diet for weight loss? And this has actually been studied quite extensively. And it's important to note that the best diet for weight loss varies person to person because individual preferences, needs, lifestyles, individual goals, they play a significant role in dietary success. That being said, there are a few diets that have shown promise in research for weight loss. First and foremost, we have the Mediterranean diet. And this diet is known for its emphasis on fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, and healthy fats. So it probably doesn't come as a surprise to a lot of you that the Mediterranean diet can very successfully lead to successful weight loss, not to mention health benefits, because it does exactly what I just advised you to do in the answer to my last question. Eat a balanced diet that includes a variety of foods from all food groups. The Mediterranean diet does that really well. Other diets that have shown promise for weight loss, low-carb diets. Atkins, keto, other types of diets that are similar to these that restrict carbohydrate intake can be effective. But do you know what the third diet is in effectiveness for weight loss? A low-fat diet, which is essentially the same exact thing. We're just reducing fats instead of carbohydrates. Here's the kicker. Research has studied over and over again the low-carb versus low-fat argument. Who's right? Which one works better? And do you know what the research tells us over and over again? Is that it doesn't matter. They both are equally as effective when it comes to weight loss, because the best diet is one that creates a calorie deficit. The key to weight loss is calorie restriction, eating less than we expend, regardless of what specific diet you choose. Consuming fewer calories than you burn is the fundamental principle behind weight loss. You can do that with the Mediterranean diet. You can do that with a low-carb diet. You can do that with a low-fat diet. You can do that with any diet, a plant-based diet, intermittent fasting. Any and every diet is based off of calorie restriction. And once again, that brings me full circle to finding a diet that aligns with your personal preferences and your lifestyle, because adherence, whether you can stick with it, it's the most critical factor in any weight loss plan. If you can't stick with it, it is not going to create weight loss, or at least not weight loss that lasts, that you can sustainably keep off. So if one of these diets feels really awesome for you, great, go for it. And as long as it works for you, that's all that matters. I find, and most of my clients find, that the best approach to food that works for them sustainably, and when I say works, I mean creates weight loss at a reasonable rate, isn't something that fits into a labeled conventional diet. Yes, I try to prioritize lean proteins and fruits and vegetables, and I also love to incorporate whole grains and healthy fats. Does that mean I eat a Mediterranean diet? Not really. Like, I also like to incorporate some processed foods into my diet because that is convenient for me. They're also super tasty for me. I find that it sometimes honors a craving that when I deny, I end up overeating by default. So no, I don't follow a Mediterranean diet. I follow a style of eating. I have a nutrition strategy that works best for me. And my job is to help each and every one of my clients to create a nutrition strategy that works best for them. Labels and diet titles be damned. The third most frequently asked question regarding weight loss is, how many calories should I eat to lose weight? And calculating your ideal calorie goal for weight loss involves determining the number of calories you need to eat to create that caloric deficit that I referenced earlier. And again, a calorie deficit means that you're consuming fewer calories than your body expends, ergo that creates weight loss. So we can do this one of two ways. Actually, we can do this a lot of ways. You could use an online calculator for starters, but if you're someone who wants to know the math, I'm gonna give it to you. First step, we have to calculate your basal metabolic rate. If you wanna do this with me, you might wanna whip out your notes app or some pen and paper. Your BMR, or your basal metabolic rate, represents the number of calories your body needs to maintain basic functions. Think breathing, think maintaining your body temperature. You need this many calories to survive. And the most commonly used formula to calculate your BMR is called the Mifflin-St. Jeor equation. Now, I'm going to assume that the majority of you listening are women. So I'm going to give you the female equation. There are different figures for the male equation. This is where I want you to whip out your notes app or pen and paper, because you need to figure out three numbers. The first number is 10 times your weight in kilograms. So you want to take your weight, which for those of you tuning in from the US is probably in pounds. And first you want to convert that to kilograms, which will be a smaller number. You're going to take that number and multiply it by 10. Set that number off to the side. The second number you're going to calculate is 6.25 times your height in centimeters. So once again, you're going to take your height in inches, translate it to centimeters, multiply that by 6.25. That's the second number, set it aside. And then you're going to take 5 times your age in years. Okay, so now we have 3 numbers. Again, this equation is for women only. You're going to take your BMR calculation, and you're going to take that first number that you calculated, 10 times your weight in kilograms, add it to the second number, 6.25 times your height in centimeters. So you've just added number 1 and number 2. And then you're going to subtract the number you got when you took 5 times your age in years. First number plus second number minus third number. And for women, minus 161. Now, the only difference for males in this equation is instead of subtracting 161 at the end, you would add 5. Okay? That number you just calculated is your basal metabolic rate. You should never eat below that number. The second step in determining how many calories you want to eat for weight loss is to determine your total daily energy expenditure. So your BMR is how many calories you would need if, God forbid, you were in a coma, laying in a bed all day long, not doing anything. But you don't lay in a bed all day long and do nothing. You move. Maybe you exercise. Maybe you don't. But either way, there's more activity in your day. So total daily energy expenditure requires you to take your BMR, the number you just calculated, and multiply it by an activity factor. So I want you to think about how active you are. Are you completely sedentary, meaning you get little to no exercise? Your activity factor is 1.2. Are you lightly active, meaning maybe you engage in light exercise or sports 1 to 3 days a week? If so, your activity factor is 1.375. If you're moderately active, working out or engaged in sports 3 to 5 days a week, you're going to multiply your BMR by 1.55. And if you're super active, athlete status, very hard exercise, physical job, or you're training twice a day, your activity factor is 1.9. So you're going to take your activity factor, multiply it by your BMR, which we already figured out. That is your total daily energy expenditure. How many calories you burn on any given day living your life. Now, in order to lose weight, I've mentioned this about 1,000 times, you have to be in a calorie deficit, which means we then want to create the calorie deficit by subtracting approximately 500 calories from your total daily energy expenditure, the number you just computed. This results in safe and sustainable weight loss at around 0.5 to 2 pounds per week, depending on how much weight you have to lose. So I did this formula, and I got my figures. This is a lot, right? If you're listening maybe while you're driving and you weren't able to do this with me, you're probably like, what language is she speaking? This is way too much math for me. I hated math in school. So if that's you, I have a cheat code for you. If weight loss is the goal, I want you to take your current weight and multiply it by 10. And then I want you to take your current weight and multiply it by 12. Within that range is probably your calorie goal for weight loss. Now, again, I told you I just did this entire formula with my stats, my personal height, my personal weight, my personal age. I also then took my current weight, multiplied it by 10, and my current weight, multiplied it by 12. The numbers are basically the same. So you could do it very specifically using this formula I just gave you, or you can do it the cheat code way and multiply your weight by 10 to 12 and shoot for somewhere within that range. And this is only for people looking to be more calorie aware. If you don't care how many calories you're eating, skip this answer entirely. Because you can successfully lose weight and lose body fat without knowing how many calories you're eating, without calorie counting. It's what we do for about 50% of our coaching clients. 50% of them don't want anything to do with calories. Maybe they have an extensive history with Weight Watchers or MyFitnessPal or Lose It. So they're kind of turned off by the numbers game. But the other 50% of our clientele find that it's actually really helpful to be more calorie aware and to know how many calories do I need if weight loss is the goal versus when I'm in maintenance. So there you go. It's very individualized. This is one of the reasons why if anyone says, oh, you should be eating blank calories, 1200 calories, 1500 calories to lose weight, they're bullshitting you, because how many calories your body needs, completely individual. The idea that a 5'2" tall woman would be eating the same as someone who is 5'11", ludicrous. Our bodies are all beautifully unique and they have unique needs. That includes our calorie goals, even when weight loss is the objective. Fourth question, what are the most effective exercises for weight loss? And again, I'm going to give you the very cheesy answer that is also an extremely accurate and helpful answer, that the most effective exercise for weight loss is the exercise you enjoy and can foresee yourself sticking with long term. Consistency is key. So if you absolutely hate running, running is not going to be the most effective exercise for weight loss for you. Now, at the end of the day, there is no magic exercise that is going to be best for weight loss. So all of those videos you see on Instagram and TikTok that say, do this exercise if you want your waist to be snatched. Bullshit. It's marketing. And you're falling for it. Because there is no way that you can spot reduce fat. So any video that's like, if you do this, you'll lose fat in your belly. If you do this, you'll lose fat in your thighs. If you do, nonsense. Nonsense. The body decides where it's going to lose fat from. You don't get to choose. That being said, exercise, when paired with a healthy, well-balanced diet, is great for not only losing weight. In fact, research shows exercise isn't all that great for losing weight, but helpful for maintaining it and keeping it off. And the best is actually a combination between cardiovascular or aerobic exercise and strength training. Aerobic exercise is probably what most of us think of when we think of exercise. Running, cycling, swimming, jumping rope, high intensity interval training, dancing like a Zumba class or hip hop class, rowing, being on the elliptical, all those things are great cardio exercises. And cardio is really great at burning calories when we're doing it. But we don't just want to stop there, because cardio also has a tendency to increase hunger. What we find is the most effective is adding some cardio into an exercise regimen that also incorporates strength training. And strength training, or weightlifting, is what's really helpful in preserving our muscle mass and or building some muscle if we're new to exercise, which increases our resting metabolic rate, helping you burn even more calories, even when you're just resting, and making weight loss easier. Now, this can be body weight, strength training, doing things like squats and push-ups and lunges and planks, that type of thing. It can also be doing things with like bands and light dumbbells, or it can be like full-on gym strength training with barbells and machines, cable machines, dumbbells, kettlebells, those types of things. Okay? Bottom line, what you love doing is the best kind of exercise for weight loss. But if you're doing exercise alone, you're likely to see very little weight loss results, because weight loss is most significantly impacted by what we eat. Fifth question. Are we on number five? I think so. The fifth most commonly asked question with regards to weight loss is, how can I lose belly fat? And if you recall, in my last answer, I just shared with you that you can't spot reduce fat. It's not effective. So instead, if we want to lose fat in our belly, we have to focus on our overall weight loss strategy, our overall fat loss plan, with a healthy, well-balanced diet. Now, a couple of tactics. We can make sure that we're incorporating lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, and healthy fats in our diet, like I already mentioned, making sure that our intake of processed, packaged, high sugar foods is minimal, and making sure that we're honoring our hunger and fullness and being mindful of portion sizes to avoid overeating. If we're going to overeat, then our calories are not going to be where they need to be. We're probably going to be in a surplus, eating more calories than we need, which means our body is going to put on body fat. So if we're trying to lose body fat, lose belly fat specifically, we have to be in a caloric deficit. So being super mindful of where calories are coming from can be helpful. Lots of times, calories can be super sneaky in sauces and dressings and marinades and dips and things like that. You're not even thinking of it, but it adds up rather quickly. Exercise, also super helpful, doesn't spot reduce belly fat, but helps to burn more calories. Getting adequate sleep is what I would recommend next, because poor sleep or insufficient sleep can lead to increased abdominal fat. And this is because the body is stressed. And when we are chronically stressed, we do see an increase in belly fat. This brings me to my next point, which is consistent stress management. Do you have stress reduction techniques like meditation or journaling or therapy, deep breathing, hobbies that you enjoy that don't involve a screen or work, that help you to manage the stress that is inevitable in your daily life. That will also be super helpful. Making sure that you're limiting your alcohol consumption, because that can certainly contribute to belly fat, and avoiding crash diets. Because when you're trying to lose weight as quickly as possible, see question number one, and we're doing so with extreme diets or cleanses or fasts or fat, you know, things that are not sustainable, it often leads to losing water and muscle in addition to fat, which means that then we're going to put body fat on quicker when the diet ends, comparatively to if we take a healthy, sustainable approach. So, sad news, you can't do something simple and target belly fat. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. However, good news, if you stay consistent with your healthy, sustainable weight loss approach, it will happen over time. Patience, consistency, and a long-term focus on your health and well-being are essential. Next question. I like this one. What is the role of genetics in weight loss? To be honest, genetics play a significant role in an individual's ability to lose weight, as well as an individual's ability to gain weight. And there are a couple of different reasons for why. The first is metabolism. So your metabolic rate, we already talked about your basal metabolic rate, how many calories you need just to exist, also determines how quickly your body burns calories at rest. And this can be influenced by genetics. So some people naturally have a higher metabolic rate, making it easier for them to maintain a healthy weight, whereas others have a slower metabolic rate, which of course can make it more challenging for weight loss to occur. Also, genetics play a strong influence in where we tend to store fat. So some people have a genetic predisposition to store fat in their belly, their abdominal area, which is often referred to as like the apple-shaped. I don't really like associating our body shapes to fruits, but whatever, if that makes sense for you, that's fine. Others tend to store it in like their hips or their thighs, or what's conventionally called pear-shaped body types. Where you store your fat is likely influenced by your genetics. So it's not uncommon for a client and I to have a discussion where she comes to me and says, Nicole, I'm losing weight in my chest. Like my chest girth is significantly down from when we started. I'm feeling really lean up top, but I just can't get my hip measurement to move. Why am I not losing more body fat in my thighs? And I'll often say, first and foremost, if you're losing body fat anywhere, if your girth measurements are decreasing, you are making progress, period. Stop complaining. It will eventually trickle down to those areas you want to lose it from. But let me ask you this, where do your parents carry excess body fat if they carry excess body fat? And 90% of the time, where my clients feel as though they desperately want to lose it from is where genetically their family members also store their body fat. So I get it. We all have, they're not trouble spots, but that's what we call them, trouble spots where we wish we would see progress faster. And again, the solution is time, patience, consistency. Genetics decide where you're going to store body fat, and genetics decide where it's going to come off first. Stick in there. Genetics can also impact your appetite and your hunger regulations. So some people have genes that make them more prone to overeating, whereas other people have genes that maybe cause them to have a naturally lower appetite. And this is, again, the way the cookie crumbles, so to speak. It's nothing you're doing wrong, but genetics just influence these factors, as well as hormone regulation. So insulin, leptin, ghrelin, our hunger hormones. Genetic variations can impact how our body produces these hormones and responds to them, which of course influences our appetite, our fat storage, and our overall weight. So yes, genetics plays a significant role in your weight and your metabolism. However, it's not the sole determining factor. We have seen time and time again that environmental factors, lifestyle choices, dietary habits, they also play a crucial role in weight management. So regardless of your genetic predispositions, even if everyone in your family has historically struggled with weight, it is still possible for you to achieve and maintain a healthy weight through a healthy, well-balanced diet, regular physical activity, and perhaps some other lifestyle modifications. But anyone who says, you just have to want it bad enough. Like, your genetics don't play any... No, that's not true. We absolutely have to factor for genetics because they do play a role. Second to last question is, how can I break through a weight loss plateau? And first and foremost, I want to say weight loss plateaus are completely normal and expected during a weight loss journey. Our bodies want to maintain homeostasis. And so when we are eating less in an effort to lose weight, our body says, what do I have to change here in order to get to my new normal, my new homeostasis? And when that happens, our progress stalls. Ergo, we hit a plateau. Now, when you experience a plateau, first and foremost, you want to make sure it really is a plateau. So a couple of weeks of your weight not doing anything is not a plateau. In fact, I just had this conversation with a client of mine who said, Nicole, I've been making fantastic progress. And for whatever reason, over the last 2 weeks, I felt super great about my compliance, my performance. I'm showing up really well for myself, but my scale hasn't moved. It hasn't budged. And I said, okay, I hear you. That's so frustrating, especially when you've been seeing beautiful progress leading up to this point. Let's give it more time. You're telling me your behaviors are exactly where they need to be. I trust you. Let's give your body some more time to adjust. So if you're talking about a couple of weeks of the scale just being stubborn and not moving, that's not a plateau. But if we're looking at you've been consistent and we're now talking 4+ weeks of the scale not doing anything, you may be at a plateau. First things first, I always ask a client to review their diet at this point. So we do a little bit of a food audit and say, okay, could there be anything that maybe is finding its way back into your diet that we're just not aware of? Because in order to create additional weight loss, we still have to be in a calorie deficit. So could there be portions that got a little bit larger over time, hidden calories that are sneaking in somewhere, or maybe just some more mindless eating? That's first. Next is, are we at a point where we need to adjust your calorie goal? Have you lost enough weight where now your calorie deficit needs to be lower than where it was when you started? That could very possibly be the case. Or we could also be at a point where it's now time to look at increasing your physical activity. Have we been focusing on walking more, that non-exercise activity, but now it's time to maybe think about adding strength training or cardiovascular activity, incorporating different types of movement into your life? Perhaps, because increasing the number of calories we expend will help us to create that additional caloric deficit. Along the same vein, it could be very helpful to change up your exercise routine. So if typically you love hopping on the elliptical, but you've been doing that for years, your body may have gotten really efficient at that elliptical workout. So it may be time to do something different, because what our body does repeatedly, our bodies are so brilliant and so smart, they get really good at doing. So maybe trying something that I haven't done for a long time or I've never tried could be super helpful in an effort to increase the calories you're expending. I also like to look at lifestyle factors because usually there's a gap here. For example, sleep. Have my kids been keeping me up at night? Has work been super stressful? I just haven't been getting great sleep. Not getting enough sleep and not getting good quality sleep makes weight loss extremely challenging. Also, the same can be said for stress. So if you are constantly stressed, that makes stress eating or emotional eating more likely. It makes skipping your workouts more likely. We want to take a look at that. At the end of the day, if you're at a true plateau and nothing's sneaking in, your compliance is fantastic, we may be at a point where we have to decide, do we have room to eat less or move more? Or do I just need to arrive at the conclusion that this is where my body wants to be, and I don't want to eat less, or I don't feel like I can eat less without sacrificing my quality of life. I don't want to move more. I don't feel like I can move more without sacrificing my quality of life. So this is where I'm going to confidently maintain. That's also a possibility. And this is really tricky to navigate on your own. So I know I say this a lot, but having someone in your corner, whether it's a health professional, whether it's a nutrition coach, whether it's a friend, a family member, it's really hard to know on your own. Have I done everything that I can do? Am I making excuses for myself, or have I actually been showing up 80%+ of the time? Don't be afraid to reach out for help. Okay, I don't know how long I've been rambling. Let's do one more. The seventh most frequently asked weight loss question is, how can I stay motivated during weight loss? This is another great question because I find motivation to be like lust. You know, at the beginning of a relationship, you've got those goo-goo goggles on and like the person can do no wrong. They don't have BO. They never have bad breath. Like they're never fart. And, you know, it's just like all good all the time. And then as you start to spend more time with that person and get to know that person better and the relationship progresses over time, you exit the honeymoon phase. And now lust is not really the key player. It's love. It's commitment, right? And maybe there are days where you're like, ugh, your breath stinks. You have BO. You need to go take a shower. The lust is gone. The motivation flew out the window. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't resurface sometimes, right? Maybe your person does something and you're like, oh God, I remember why I love you so much. Or it's like an anniversary and there's just like the right vibe and the environment is on point. And you're like, oh yes, so good. And lust just kind of comes and goes. But you can't rely on lust for a healthy relationship. You rely on commitment. You choose to love that person, even if some days you're not feeling it. Weight loss is the same. You're not always going to stay motivated. And that's just the bottom line. Motivation is fickle and it ebbs and it flows. And sometimes you're really going to feel like doing the things that you know you need to do to move the needle. And sometimes you're going to feel like doing anything but the things that you know you need to do to move the needle. But a few things that help. Number one, bringing us full circle, make sure your weight loss expectations and your goals are realistic. If you are trying to lose 5 pounds a week and every week you don't lose 5 pounds, you're disappointed in yourself, you're gonna lose motivation and you're gonna fall off the wagon, as we like to say, very, very quickly and over and over and over again, because that's just not realistic. It's not sustainable. So make sure that your goals are achievable. Next, make sure you're tracking your progress. And I don't just mean scale-based progress. In fact, all of my clients know I require them to track more than just the scale in terms of metrics. Keep a journal, start an Excel spreadsheet, but track your weight loss if you're tracking on the scale, but maybe other things too, like your energy level, your confidence around food, your girth measurements, your clothing fit, your health status in terms of like blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol, maybe other non-scale victories like gym PRs, or if you want to track progress photos. All of these things can be so motivating and inspiring when you see, ah, okay, the scale didn't move this week, but you know what? I'm getting 7 hours of sleep most nights, and as a result, my energy's better versus the 5 hours I was getting previously. That keeps me going because there's nothing more motivating than progress. And along that vein, making sure you're celebrating your milestones. Don't wait until you get to the top of the mountain and you reach this big, powerful goal. That's exciting. Celebrate the hell out of things when you get there, but celebrate the hell out of things even when you get to the next first step. If you have a goal of losing 100 pounds and you're not celebrating anything that you're doing well until you lose 100 pounds, you're going to get discouraged and totally quit before you get there. Celebrate every 10 pounds. If you don't want to celebrate weight loss achievements, I get that. Celebrate the months when you're 80%+ compliant. Celebrate when you show up for yourself even when you didn't want to and it was super hard. Find ways to be a cheerleader for you. And it doesn't have to be something you spend money on. It can be like a new piece of workout clothing or getting a manicure or a massage, but it can also just be like a fun activity or something that brings you joy. I'm going to say it again. This is huge, but finding a support system. Having a coach is invaluable. I have had my own coaches. I currently have my own coach. It holds you accountable in ways that you just cannot hold yourself accountable, period. It makes failures easier to turn into feedback and keep moving forward. It also makes the celebrations and the joys sweeter, having people in your corner. So if you feel as though you've tried everything, you're still struggling, it might be time to hire a coach. But if not a coach, do you know how many online communities there are where you can find support and like-minded people to cheer you on or lift you up when you're struggling? Plug for the Nutrition Coaching with Nicole Facebook group. You can always share your wins or your struggles in there. And there are lots of women who will rally alongside of you. Completely free, completely accessible to absolutely everybody. Something else that can be super helpful is creating routine and schedule. I know I'm not always going to feel like eating the goal supportive healthy thing, so I food prep at the beginning of my week to make it easier to choose the healthy goal supportive thing. I know I'm not always going to feel like going to the gym to get my workout, so I put them on my calendar, just like any other meeting, so that I'm more likely to go to the gym and get my workout. Sometimes I think we expect ourselves to want to do the next best thing or the goal supportive thing every time. We're not going to. It's just like how you don't always want to brush your teeth before bed. Sometimes you just want to crash on the couch watching Netflix. You don't always want to pay your bills, but you do because you want the outcome, right? You want the benefit. Make it easier. Make the healthy choice the easy choice by creating routine and schedule. This is why I'm so passionate about habits. If you turn the desired behavior into a habit, you don't have to work at it anymore, or at least not as hard. It just happens. And I'll leave you with this. Last piece of advice I would give to someone asking, how can I stay motivated? Is make it fun. Find physical activity that lights you up inside. Don't do what you hate. Find recipes, incorporate foods into your life that you love. Don't force yourself to eat foods that you hate. Look forward to those fun foods and beverages that you have planned strategically to enjoy, because most of the time you're eating whole foods and you have a balanced diet, but you know that you're more likely to stay the course and your results are more likely to be sustainable if you do incorporate ice cream every once in a while, pizza and beer every once in a while. If it's not fun, you're not going to stick with it. And if you don't stick with it, then any weight loss you create is temporary. And temporary weight loss is just a mind fuck. It doesn't benefit you physically. It doesn't benefit you mentally. What's the point? Adjust your expectations and commit to what you can confidently see yourself sticking with. And if you need some help doing that, I am here for you. My team is here for you. This is what we do. This is what we love doing, helping our clients to create sustainable fat loss that they feel confident they can maintain when graduation day rolls around and we decide to part ways, because they have all the tools and the skills and the healthy eating habits that they need to live their lives looking, feeling, and performing their best while eating their favorite foods. This week, and this week only, we are offering an insane Black Friday discount that we have never offered before. I have no idea. We may never offer it again. So if you are interested in getting individualized nutrition coaching support and creating your healthiest relationship with food and fat loss that lasts, I want you to DM me the phrase Black Friday, and I will share our current offers with you where you can save up to $600 off of one-on-one nutrition coaching. This is truly insane. Like I said, we've never done this before, but my team and I want to make this the easiest yes for you, because we want your healthiest self to feel like a possibility. We know it is, and we want you to believe it is and say yes to that version of yourself. DM me the phrase Black Friday, and I will share our current offers with you that expire on Cyber Monday. So don't wait. If you are done Googling these questions, trying to find the secret to fast fat loss or how many calories you need to eat in order to lose weight, and you're ready to finally feel confident about how you can create and maintain the progress that you do create, apply for one-on-one nutrition coaching. Let's work together and get you where you want to be.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com, where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.